Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Praise God. Come on, that's who our God is. He's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. Wherever you are today, this is our God. He does not change. Everything else might change, but the Lord remains the same. Whether you're in Grand Junction, whether you're in Osaka, whether you're in South Australia, whether you're in Tasmania, whether you're in Victoria, or whether you're in the great nation of Cambodia, our God, He is a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, and He is. That's the point, isn't it? He is. He's still on the throne. He's still our God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And there is none like our God. There is none like our God. I don't know about you. I am still a believer. A lot of things may have changed, but this one thing hasn't. I am still a believer. We are still believers. Enjoy church. God is for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? Our God reigns in every situation, every circumstance. Our God reigns. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm ready for the word of the Lord. Anybody else ready for the word? Anybody out there ready for the word today? Come on, in your lounge rooms, in your kitchens, wherever you find yourself today, whatever nation you're in, I want to encourage you, let's lift up a shout of praise. Let's receive the word of God. Let God do in us what God wants to do us and get ready for what's next. Because how many of you know, this too shall pass? I had a wise man say to me this week, this too shall pass. It has come and it will go, but the Lord will remain the same in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. You can be seated. We're going to come around the word of God now. In a time where so many are shrinking back and losing hope, and you know that's a reality. Many people on planet Earth today are shrinking back. They're losing hope. I want to encourage you that those who hope in the Lord, I got to tell you, we will not be put to shame. We will not be put to shame. Those who hope in the Lord. You know, the word says that some trust in horses, others trust in chariots, but we trust in the name of our God. And our God, He will see us through. You know, plagues, diseases, viruses, while all of these things, they may be new to us. How many of you know they're actually not that new at all? I know where it's like, we're all talking like, this has never happened before. It has all happened before. And you're like, how can you say that? Well, the Bible says that. Why don't we turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 9 together. It says, history merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. What can you point to that is new? How do you know it didn't already exist long ago? We don't remember what happened in those former times, and in future generations, no one will remember what we are doing now. That should give us some encouragement right there. It's like no one is going to remember what we are doing now. All of our work, all of our toil, all of our energy in the generations that come to be like, whatever, they've all forgotten that. And so if this is the case, and we obviously believe it is the case because it's a word of God, plagues, diseases, flus and viruses, they've all come before and they have all gone before. There's no doubt about that. They have come and they have gone. But what we want to know is what can we learn from history that's going to set us up for a better future? Because the reality is you have a great future in God. You have a better future in God. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. You have a future in God and it is secure. So what can we learn? So while on one hand, from history, there's no doubt about it, history can be a wonderful teacher, absolutely. But I want to encourage you, there is one book at the moment that I'm leaning into more than any other history book, and that would be the Word of God. We need to be a people of the Bible. We need to look into the Word of God. There is no teacher, no lesson, no education, no book, no website that will better prepare you for the times in which we live than the Word of God, the Bible itself. Now, Amen. So there was a famine many years ago. There was a famine in ancient history where fear had gripped the land. You know, we are seeing levels of fear on planet Earth that we have never seen before. It really is quite amazing. From one end of the world to the other, from one hemisphere to the other hemisphere, everywhere in between, fear is gripping the world today. But there was a time, long time ago, where fear had also gripped the land because plague after plague after plague had come upon the people. First, there was a plague of blood. You remember the story. Go back to the book of Exodus. There was a plague of blood. How many of you know it's not good when your rivers and your ponds and your streams and your lakes, they all turn to blood? That's a bad day. Then there was a plague of frogs. Other than the French, I don't think anyone would be too excited about that. Would you like a frog with your fries, sir? No frogs. We don't want to do the frogs. But there was a plague of frogs. Then there was a plague of gnats. Then there was a plague of flies. Then there was a plague against livestock. And after nine plagues, one plague after another plague after another plague, they rolled out throughout the land. But then came the most devastating plague of them all. And it was a plague that was to take the firstborn of everything and from everyone. How many of you know this is a bad day in Egypt? There's no doubt about that. It was a plague that would strike fear into the Egyptians like no other plague had ever struck fear into anybody. When Moses tells Pharaoh about the plague in Exodus, I think it's really interesting. In chapter 11 from verse 6, it says, this is what he says, "Then a loud wail will be heard throughout the land of Egypt. There has never been such wailing before, and there will never be again. But among the Israelites," I love this, "but among the Israelites," but amongst the people of God, there is going to be wailing, and there is going to be, there is going to be fear, but among the Israelites, it will be so peaceful that not even a dog will bark. Praise God. Doesn't matter how ugly your dogs are, they're not going to bark. They're not going to go without. "Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between the Egyptians and the Israelites." Then you will know that the Lord, he's the one who makes a distinction here between the Egyptians and the Israelites. Now, some of you might be saying, well, that's favoritism. That's like you pull the favoritism card. How can God show favoritism to them over them? I want to say to you today, this is not favoritism. What we're seeing here is the power of covenant relationship. Praise God. What we're seeing here is the power of a relationship with God that each of you can enter into. You wonder why we're loud in the house today, even though there's few of us. I want to encourage you, the reason that we are loud is because we have entered into a covenant relationship with God. And this covenant relationship isn't just for those that are here or those that are enjoyers out there. This covenant relationship is for every man and every woman who would desire to enter into it themselves. All right. So what was it that set the Israelites apart? Even before the Lamb of God was the Lamb of God on planet Earth, what was it that set the Israelites apart? It was the blood of lambs. That's what it was in the beginning. It was the blood of lambs that distinguished God's people and set them apart. Now, as we turn again to the book of Exodus, we're going to see the account of the Passover. It's something that, from a Christian's point of view, that we need to be very mindful of in this season, I believe. In Exodus chapter 12, reading from verse 3, it says, "Announce to the whole community that on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice. If a family is too small to eat an entire lamb, let them share the lamb with another family in the neighborhood." How many of you know this is where friendship group began? Right here. Let's get together for a meal together. "Whether or not they share it in this way depends on the size of each family and how they can eat it." All right, how much they can eat. All right, now listen to this instruction here. Exodus 12, reading together from verse 6. "Take special care of these lambs until the evening of the 14th day of this first month. Then each family in the community must slaughter its lamb. They are to take some of the lamb's blood and smear it on the top and sides of the door frame of the house where the lamb will be eaten." All right, so what we're talking about now is the family home. I understand, you understand. We've been preaching all this year about our Father's house. How many of you know, if your house, if you are a believer, Your Father's house is your house. Your house is your Father's house. All right, so we need to understand this because we're not talking about just the houses of those that are deemed to be spiritual. No, if you're a believer and you're in covenant relationship with God here, you're able to take the blood of the Lamb, as it was in Exodus, put it over the mantle of your house, over the doorway of your house, and you should be believing that the promises of God that God has made in generations past and in generations present are going to become your reality. Church, let's never forget that if the power of God for the salvation of his people was seen through the blood of lambs in the Old Testament, how much more will the salvation of God's people be seen through the blood of the Lamb by those of us who believe in the power of the new covenant? We need to be believing that the blood of the Lamb is powerful. Not just the blood of lambs, but the blood of the Lamb is all powerful. So in the book of Exodus, this is what the Israelites did. They would have their lamb, or they would take their goat, they would sacrifice it, they'd gather up the blood in a bucket, and then they would get a little bit of the blood, and they would just smear it across the top, and they would smear it down the sides of their house. Now you might be like, well, so what are we doing here? Well, this is what we're doing. This is what happened back in the day. They were committed to it. They knew what they had to do. They went to work and they were obedient to the word of God. Can I encourage you in this season? There is nothing like obedience to the word of God to get you through this season. There is nothing like obedience to the word of God for God then to come to you and come to your house and empower you to get through this season unscathed. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 23, it says, "For the Lord will pass through the land and strike down the Egyptians." But, all right, every believer, but, every enjoyer, but, all right. So, yeah, there's stuff going on outside. There's stuff going on around the world. There is fear gripping everybody out there, but we are not living out there. We go out there, but we are from within here. We are of our Father's house, and we're stepping out into a lost and hurting, dying world, but we will not be in fear. People are going to know you because of your fruit. People are going to ask you, why aren't you fearful like everybody else? Why are you so certain that God's got a future for you? Because we know the word of God. But when he sees the blood, how many of you know there is still power in the blood? I know it's an old song, but there is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the name of the Lord. All right. But when he sees the blood on the top and the sides of the door frame, the Lord will pass over your home. He will not permit. Can I say, every enjoyer, get this in your spirit. Everyone tuning in today, get it in your spirit. He will not permit the destroyer to enter and strike down your firstborn. In other words, you will not suffer loss. Can I encourage you today? You will not suffer loss. I want to encourage everyone tuning in today. You will not suffer loss, for the Lord will not permit the thief, the enemy, to come into your house and rob, kill, and destroy from you, because you are in covenant relationship with God because of the blood of Jesus. All right, now let's fast forward. All right, I'm going to get excited soon, I promise you. I'm going to get excited because I understand where it's all going. I love the Old Testament because it takes us to the New Testament. I love the Old Covenant because it takes us to the New Covenant. I love the beginning because it points to the end. And how many of you know Jesus is all of that? He is the beginning. He is the end. You know what I'm saying. So let's fast forward because we need to know. We need to know that as good as the Old Covenant was, as much as the blood of lambs and bulls and goats could accomplish for the beneficiaries of the Old Covenant what it could accomplish, it was only ever meant to be a shadow of that which was to come. It was only ever meant to be a shadow of that which was to come and be established through the blood of Jesus. Jesus, 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 the Lamb of God, who would take away the sin of the world. You know, I think it's really interesting because we're in a season now where we need to, with everything we are, reach down deep into our hearts and our faith and our convictions and pull up all that we know and we believe to be true. Because in these moments, the enemy is looking to strike fear. But we know what the Bible says. We know from the beginning to the end that we have a future in Christ Jesus, and it's the Lamb of God. It's the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. He shed his blood for you and for me. This is where it's at. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. In the same way, I love this. He took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and you." God and you. It's the new covenant between God and you. This is Jesus speaking. All right. This is what it represents, all right? This is what we're about to take communion, everybody, all right? But this cup, what it represents, here we go. This cup is the new covenant between God and you, sealed by the shedding of my blood. The blood of a lamb couldn't do it. The blood of a goat couldn't do it. A bull couldn't do it. It was only the blood of Jesus that was shed for you and I that could establish the new covenant between God and you. God and you. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. So do it when you do it in remembrance of the Lord. As often as you drink it, let's remember all that God has done. For every time, how many times? Every time, I love this. Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes. You are announcing, I am announcing, we are announcing the Lord's death until he comes. And if we are announcing the Lord's death until he comes, how many of you know we're announcing a new covenant established by the blood of Jesus, by which we all might access the very presence of God and all of the promises of God? All right, we got to get this. All right. So yes, when we partake of the new covenant, there's no doubt about it. We are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. But through this blood, through what we're doing, through what Jesus has done, now we access the presence of God, absolutely. But now we also have access to all of the promises of God. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We access the promises of God by faith. So as we partake today, we're enacting our faith. That's what we're doing. And it's just as if we were taking the blood of the Lamb and beginning to splash it over the lives and the doorposts of our lives and our families. It's like every time when we partake of communion, I want you to get this, because we're enacting our faith and we're actually doing something symbolically in the spirit. It's like we're reaching down. Now I know what the Bible said in the Old Testament, that they would smear, take the blood and smear, just smear. But friends, can I encourage you in this season? We're not going to smear. No, we're going to take a smear and we're going to turn it into a splash. You know what I'm saying? I want to encourage you to take. Remind yourself, every time you take communion, you are taking the blood of Jesus. And it's as if you are standing up and you are saying, devil, you don't have any room in my life, because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And I'm going to put this blood over my life. I'm going to put it over my wife. I'm going to put it over my children. And the enemy will have no foothold in my life, in my life, in my life. There is no room for the enemy to come into our church or into our families or into our homes or into our businesses. Let the enemy see red. Let the enemy see red. Let the enemy see the blood of Jesus over our lives, over our families, over our children. And everybody said, every time we partake, every time we partake, we are announcing the Lord's death and resurrection power over our lives, over our marriages, over our children, over our church, over our businesses, over everything that is near and dear to us. I'm announcing, I love it, because I'm about ready to partake. I'm going to announce today afresh that all the promises of God are yes and amen to all of us that are in Christ Jesus, to you and your family, in Osaka, can I say to you, you're a long way from home, but you're in our hearts. You could be right here today, just like I'm right there with you. You're in our hearts, and it's our faith, it's our common faith that unites us together. In Grand Junction, our dear brothers and sisters there in Grand Junction, we love you to bits, and we know what we are speaking over our life, we are proclaiming over your life to everybody in Adelaide, in Hobart, all around Victoria, our new friends in Cambodia. Every belief, every conviction that we have concerning the Word of God, it is not just true for those that stand before me or sit before me today, but it's true for every person that's watching in. If you're an enjoyer, you're only an enjoyer because you're a Christian first. To every Christian, this is true for you too. But if you're not a Christian, you might be saying, well, what about us? And then obviously there is a distinction from heaven's point of view between those who belong to God and those who don't belong to God. But the wonderful, wonderful news is this, that every person, because of the good news of the gospel, because of the good news of Jesus, has the opportunity to say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want you, Lord, to come into my life. I love it because when Jesus comes into our life and we are now connected by a covenant relationship to God the Father, then all of a sudden, all the promises are yes and amen. Yes and amen. Can I encourage you, begin to speak the promises of God over your life. In these times where fear is coming after everybody in the community, begin to speak the promises of God over your life. Because the promises of God are true in famine times as well as blessed times. The promises of God are true when the sun is out or whether it's raining. The promises of God remain true. Promises like Isaiah 54 verse 17. No weapon. No weapon. Come on. No weapon. All around it, enjoy world. No weapon. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. No weapon. No, 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 no weapon. No weapon. You might be like, bup, bup, bup. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Understand this. The Bible doesn't say there won't be weapons formed against you. Yeah, they're formed against us all. But no weapon shall prosper. No weapon shall prosper. And everybody said, promises like, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I love this because if you're a believer, this is for you. I thank God there are churches preaching all over the world today, and they're preaching really the same message. And it all comes back to Jesus. It all comes back to the Word of God. I want to encourage you to lean into the Word of God, lay hold of the promises of God, and begin to speak them over your life and over your family's life, over your business life, over your church's life. And everybody said, amen. Promises like Psalm 91, verse 7. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. And everybody said, it shall not come near you. No matter where you are, no matter what location you're in, what friendship group you're in, wherever you find yourself today, it shall not come near you. Embrace the promises of God and say yes and amen. So as we come around communion today, let's remind ourselves, all of us, let's remind ourselves. Now, the great thing is this, because you're watching online, some of you are like, I didn't know we were having communion. Where is the host with communion? This is what you do. Just pause. All right, you pause, you get your communion, then you come back and we continue on. We can do that. Grab your communion, take it in your hand now. Get ready because we are all going to take communion. As we come around communion today, let's remind ourselves that there is nothing on earth like the blood of Jesus. I understand there's a virus out there, but there's always been viruses. Always been viruses. I understand there's fear out there. There's always been fear out there. What's changed? I understand the times that we're in and I understand the difficulties that come with it. Yeah, I get that. But at the end of the day, I want to encourage you to understand that there is nothing on planet Earth quite like the blood of Jesus. For it gives us access to a new and living way. It gives us access to the new covenant that we might inherit all of the promises of God. All of the promises of God mean all of the promises of God. No sickness, no famine, no disease, no virus. It ain't coming to your house. Put the blood of Jesus over your family. Remind the enemy again. Share in communion as a family. Share in communion as a friendship group. Share in communion wherever you find yourself. And let's declare together that we are entering into all the promises of God in 2020. It may not have started the way we thought it was going to start, but wherever you find yourself, there you find yourself. So be there. That's what I say. You've heard me say it a million times. Wherever you be, be there. Well, if I'm going to be here, I'm going to be here by faith. And I'm going to access all the promises of God by faith. I'm going to participate in communion and remind the enemy that the doorposts of my house are covered in the blood of Jesus. Therefore, all the promises of God for me and my wife and my children and my family and my church are yes and amen. For all of you, they are yes and amen. Because I say so, no. But because the Bible says so, and I'm hanging on to the Bible. So I'm going to take my communion and I'm going to make the announcement. Let all the world hear that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Let all the world know there is power in the blood of the Lamb. There was only one Lamb from heaven's point of view. I know there were many lambs before the Lamb, but when Jesus came, he became the Lamb of God that was slain for us. So why don't we partake and announce today, Lord, you're coming again soon, and we know that. We declare it. We understand it. But Lord, we thank you, Lord God, as we partake today. We are not only announcing, Lord God, your soon return, but we're announcing to the world that we are your children. And we will not live by fear, because you have called us to be a people of faith. So by faith, Lord God, we enact, Lord God. We stand up, Lord God, and it is, as it were, as we partake today, Lord, that we are splashing, Lord God, your blood all over the doorposts of our house. We are declaring, Lord God, that the enemy will not come in here, because your word says the destroyer will not come and steal and take and destroy. But Lord, we declare, Lord God, that we are your children and we do believe your word is true. Therefore, Lord God, we take courage today. We take hope today in the knowledge that you have already gone before us. You have laid down your life that we might be, Lord God, those, Lord God, who are ministers of the new covenant. We embrace the new covenant. We remind ourselves of the new covenant and all the promises that come with it. So today, Lord, we give you praise. We give you honor. Lord, we partake of the bread, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for your body that was broken for us, that we might have life and have it to the full, that we might be healed in our physical bodies. We thank you, Lord God, for your blood that was shed for us. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, you shed it for the remission of our sin, not your sin, but our sin, Lord God. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, we are healed physically and we are healed spiritually because of all that you have done. Now, Lord God, we partake and we step into that place of children of God. And we believe, Lord God, nothing bad shall harm us. Nothing shall enter our home that shouldn't be in our home. We give you praise. We give you honor. Lord, we continue to walk by faith because that's what you would have us do in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said, amen. Let's partake together. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your body that was broken for us. Thank you, Lord God, for your blood that was shed for us. Thank you, Lord God, through the new covenant, we not only have access into your presence, but to all the promises of God. They are yes and amen to those of us that are in Christ. We thank you, Jesus. Before we close today, in a few moments' time, we're going to be going to an incredible Kid Mania time. You don't want to miss that. But before we do that, I want to look down this lens into your lounge room, into your family room, to wherever you find yourself today. And I want to ask you about your relationship with God. I've been talking about this new covenant. The reality is, if you don't know Jesus, you can access Jesus through the new covenant. You can receive forgiveness of your sins. You can receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But the reality is, it'll be your choice. What I discovered many, many years ago is my parents couldn't choose for me. My wife couldn't choose for me. My children can't choose for me. Individuals choose for themselves. So, I want to ask you today, how is your relationship with God? How are you with God right here, right now? Maybe you're in a friendship group. Maybe you're in someone else's family room. I don't know where it is that you'll be watching online, church online, but I do know this. Wherever you are, Jesus is there. And he's compelling, and he's calling, and he's wanting you to come into relationship with him. So, friends, I want to ask you, wherever you find yourself today, how is your relationship with God? The Bible tells us really clearly that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That word all means all. Every one of us, from myself to the people that are sitting in this room to the people that are sitting around you today, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us clearly the wages for that sin is death, but the free gift of God is salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. What does that mean? It means there is a gift here for you today. That gift is salvation. That gift is life. That gift is hope. That gift is forgiveness, and that gift is peace. But for you to receive the gift, you have to receive it. No one else can receive it for you. On the side of your screen today, there's a little raised hand. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. How do you do that? You just hit the little raised hand. On the other side of that raised hand, there is a brother or a sister or a pastor that's there to receive you and welcome you into the family of God. They're going to encourage you and what you can do to begin to grow your faith. Some of you will be connected to people around in Joy Church. Others of you might be in other parts of the world. But we're going to encourage you to get planted in a local church, because that's the best place for any person to grow in God. So I want to ask you again. I want to take you to this point now. Are you ready to give your life to Christ? So wherever you find yourself today, how is your relationship with God? Friend, if you are out there and you're saying, Shane, the truth is I'm away from God, but I'd like to give my life to Christ. Maybe you used to follow God closely, but have drifted away. Can I encourage you, stop the drift today, come back to Jesus today. So wherever you are, I'm going to ask you right now, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer if you want to give your life to Jesus. In an instant, you can come into relationship with God, your sins can be forgiven, and you can begin a brand new journey in God. So if you're in the building today, I'd ask you to raise your hand, but you're not there, but there's a little raised hand on the side of the screen. So if you're watching online, you're saying, Shane, today is the day I want to give my life to Christ, then I'm going to ask you to press that little raised hand right now. Just press that little raised hand wherever you're seated, whichever part of the world you're in. If you're in a friendship group, just press it. Just press that little raised hand. Or maybe if you're in a friendship group with other brothers and sisters, you could actually raise your hand right now. Wherever you find yourself, let there be an indication that today is the day I want to give my life to Christ. Now we're going to pray a very special prayer together. I'm going to ask everyone in the room to pray. Everyone in the room, wherever you find yourself, let's all pray together. Dear Jesus, I thank you today for bringing me to this place that I might give my life to you. Today, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my all. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of my sin and help me, Lord, to live a life that is pleasing and honoring of you. So today, Lord, I give you my life, I give you my all, and I believe from this day on, you are my God, my Lord, my Savior, and my friend, and from this day on, I am your child, and I have access to the new covenant that's been established by the blood of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise, we give you honor, in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Come on, let's give it up for all those who just raised their hands or hit the raised hand. God bless you. It all begins afresh today.